It says, I think we dealt with the idea of the purity, and it's the Hebrew word there is the idea of it having been refined. God's word does not need to be refined. It already is. And the idea is, I don't want to get too far off the track. You'd be amazed some of the weird things that people come up with as far as some of these things are concerned. Anyway, the idea is there that it's pure. It is 24 karat. There is nothing wrong with it. It is accurate in all that it says, including areas of history and science. What God's word says is true. And we need to bring all of our thinking, all of our ideas, all the information that we are given to run it through the filter of God's word. We need to think biblically. You need to understand this. And say, I can't believe you said it. If something is in disagreement with the word of God, it's wrong. Now, that's a bold statement. Because we're actually going to be talking about this, depending on how far we get here, again, on another level. But most people, if you go through different things that the Bible teaches, they'll nod their head, yeah. It's when they get to certain things that they have either read a book about, or they were taught, or something, they sat in a class in college, or they watched a National Geographic special. You know, it could be any number of things. And they swallowed a lie. And because the people who tell the lie are so credible, because they are people who are from prestigious schools and the government recognizes them as an authority on their various, on their subjects, that therefore they must be true. They must be right. And the problem is that they're running in conflict with what God has said. And I don't care how many letters you've got after your name. You're not smarter than God. And just because somebody has letters after the name from a prestigious university does not mean that that they are right. One of the things that's it's almost an ironic thing. I think I mentioned this before. When you're working on a doctorate, one of the requirements for your dissertation, that big huge book that you basically write as part of your project or as part of your degree, is it has to be original. I could even throw out the word novel. because some of the, in order to come up with some originality at this stage of time, some of the stuff that they write is really, really bizarre. I have a cousin that has a PhD, and this is how it goes. He took somebody else's PhD and refuted it. He took somebody else's dissertation and refuted it, and that was his. And so you just keep building on this thing until you have this gigantic conflicted mess. Well, what's the truth? Well, as far as the world is concerned, it's whatever's in vogue right now. And then you've heard my argument that, well, if it was said to be true 10 years ago or 5 years ago or last week, but we've since found that it's not true today. Well, does that mean that a week ago or 10 years ago or whatever it was that you were actually embracing a lie and were insisting that it was true? Well, no. Well, was it true then? Well, no, but okay, so you were saying that something that isn't true was true and therefore that's a lie. Now, how do you have a guarantee that what you're insisting is true today will not in another week, 5 years, 10 years, also be refuted by something new? See, and this is the pattern of history. So many things, especially in the realm of science falsely so-called, is constantly in this state of flux. What can we depend on? Where can we plant our feet? Where is the anchor that we can cast it? It won't budge. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. We can depend on the word of God. Thy word is pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I have something I can count on. and it's right and it's pure. And he says in verse 141, I am small and despised. I am insignificant. There is nothing to me. And that's the reality really for all of us. Most people who think that they are something really aren't. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. I depend on what God has said. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to somebody about this this past week. Did you know that if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God by adoption. Now think about the implications of that. That means that this room is filled with princes and princesses. That we are children of the King. And that is our status for eternity. And it doesn't matter how insignificant you are as far as the world's perception is concerned, or how the world rates you, or what the world thinks of you. In God's eyes, you're His child. And He loves you and cares for you. And there's a great contrast between the perception that the world has of us and what God thinks of us. I'm small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Mark it down, underline it. God's word is true. It is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Oh, I have had a rough week. It's not just been the ducks. You know, we talk about being nibbled to death by ducks. I got not really physically, but I also got attacked by a dog, and just, you know, there's a couple of things along the way, and it's just been a long week. And some of the things that we go through that make these things long, and you deal with the same thing, is for doing the right thing. You do something that is right and you suffer consequences for doing what is right. And you think, that's not right that I should suffer for doing the right thing. All who live godly, our Lord said, will suffer persecution. If you do the right thing, the world does not like that. If you say the right thing, if you believe the right thing, the world does not like that. If you have integrity, believe it or not, the world doesn't like that. And we suffer the consequences, because we suffer various consequences for doing and saying and thinking what is right. Even demonstrating kindness can come back on us. And yet trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. I am going to do what's right, I am going to think what's right, and I'm going to say what's right because it is right, because it honors God. And I may suffer temporal consequences for it, so be it. I will do what the right thing because it's the God-honoring thing. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. God's word doesn't change. God's word, we throw out that big word, God's word is immutable. It is unalterable. It does not change with the passing of time. One of the things that, very satisfying when even the world, under certain circumstances and on rare occasions, admits that the Christians were right all along. Now, it does happen occasionally. In 1948, a shepherd boy threw a rock into a cave. It was up on a little hill of stone. There was a hole up there, and he threw a rock up in there. And he heard a crash of pottery. So he went home, got some help. They got some ropes and stuff. They climbed up in there, and they found a bunch of big pots, tall, skinny pots. And inside of those, most of them were sealed. And inside of those were these scrolls. Those were the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the people who debunk the Word of God, the people who hate the Word of God, say, okay, great. We have found the oldest known copies of the Bible, of the Old Testament, and we're going to compare them to the copies that we have now, and we'll let you know how much this thing has changed over the years. It hasn't. Told you so. Told you so. Told you so. I love that. Doesn't happen very often, but it's very rewarding. Makes you just, it's just good. All right. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Not only does the Word of God is itself permanent, but what is right and what is wrong, this is not politically correct. What is right and what is wrong does not change with the passing of time. Now, digest that. What is right and what is wrong does not change with the passing of time. Society and culture does not dictate morality. How do you have a guarantee? Morality is constantly in a state of flux. Morality is constantly changing. What was immoral 2 years ago is accepted and embraced today. And the things that are embraced today will be considered immoral and awful here in another few years. These things are constantly changing. Going back to the idea of what is truth. Well, when were you ever right? You were right when your morality and your ethics were tied to the Word of God. And when you step away from that, that's when everything is in this state of flux and nothing is certain. And it's always changing and it's blowing with the societal winds. The only time that you have something that is certain and guaranteed is when it's in accord with the Word of God. And our culture and our society is always changing. May we recognize it is a blessing to know that what we have embraced, we don't have to worry about adjusting. We don't have to worry about change. Now, there's a lot of stuff to learn, but I don't have to worry about the latest and greatest. I don't have to worry about the latest trend. All I have to do is worry about mastering and learning what God gave us. And God gave us His Word between a little over 1900 and 3500 years ago, almost between 2000 and 3500 years ago. And it doesn't change. It doesn't change. Now let's go to the next one. A little bit of time here. Dealing with the distresses of the present. Now, by the way, our letter here is cough. Cough. It might be spelled with a K, it might be spelled with a Q. But there's no U if it's spelled with a Q. Okay, a clock that's not digital. All right? Old-fashioned clock. My mother-in-law has a grandfather. She has clocks everywhere. She has clocks that make noise, have chimes. And the worst thing is they're all like a minute or two apart. So when it's the top of the hour, just be prepared for some noise, especially at noon. We have some folks that come to our church that have a living room filled with cuckoo clocks. It's really a ball to be there at certain times of the day. But with an old-fashioned clock, you have tick-tock, tick-tock. All right, now, I bring that all up. There's a reason. In Hebrew, you have two different K sounds. One would be the K of tick, and the other one would be the K of tock. Now think about it. One is made in the front of your mouth, and one is made in the back of your mouth. In English, it doesn't really make any difference. But in a lot of languages, it does. The k, k, k in the back, get that k, like lock. It's usually on the end of a like an O type sound. Tick, tock. But it's the K is in a different part of your mouth. So this is the one from the back of your mouth, the K in the back of your mouth. And the psalmist says in we got the help me kind of thing here in verses 145 and 146. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. And he's not saying I haven't been. because we get the idea here that he has been very faithful. But I cried with my whole heart, hear me! And then verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me! Human perception of believers, in other words, our perception, not what outsiders think of us, but we as believers, sometimes we think that God has gotten distracted or he's not paying attention to us. That something has happened to us and he is unaware. And so we're like, hey, pay attention! Look at what I'm going through! Hey, over here! As if God didn't know. And I suppose, I mean, that's our limitations. Because we have a tendency to look at God like he's just a super duper person instead of an omniscient, omnipotent God. And what's interesting is the psalmist does this often. the woe is me and God, where are you? Aren't you paying attention? Gotta listen to me. I'm crying out to you. Do something. Hey, over here. We get a lot of that in the Psalms. And it lets you know, one of the fascinating things about the scripture is you get a very realistic view of the way people are. We don't have, this glorying in humanity. People are shown as they really are. If the greatest of Bible characters, you see them with all their problems. One of the fascinating things is you read most of the time, even biography, unless it's a political attack book. When you read biographies, they have a tendency to skip all the problems. They have a tendency to skip over the things that make their hero look bad. If you read, I've read two different biographies of D.L. Moody over the years. And when you're done, you're thinking, my word, what a man, just an incredible guy. They don't tell you about the fact that one time after one of his meetings, somebody buttonholed him and just started slandering him and attacking him, and he hauled off and slugged the guy and knocked him down a staircase. later apologized to the guy, and the guy accepted the apology and everything, all was made well. But that was not something you find in most books. All right, in the Bible, you get that. David is offended by a guy named Nabal. And David says, well, I'm going to kill him. And not just him, I'm going to kill everybody in his family. And David gets all of his soldiers to go, and off they go. And if it wasn't for God's providence in sending somebody to intervene, David would have, he says himself, shed innocent blood. We see people with all their problems, all their difficulties. And so, God, save me. God, help me! But God is there. We never have to worry about whether God is paying attention. God knows. God knows. All right, save the notes, and we'll pick up Roman numeral 2 next time. Somebody mark this down and remind me next week. So Roman numeral 2 next time, verse 147. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us all we need to know from you. Father, we have the truth. And all that it says, all that it addresses, all the subjects that it deals with, all of these things are so. And Father, may we recognize this, may we accept this, may we rejoice in it. As the world is groping in the dark, trying to figure out exactly what they believe and why. And yet they're never going to come to the truth unless they come to your word. Father, thank you for this. Thank you for your word and opening our eyes and giving it to us. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.